وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أولم يروا أنا خلقنا لهم مما عملت أيدينا أنعاما فهم لها مالكون. Do they not see that we have created for them of what our hands have created, the cattle and animals, so that they are their owner? وَزَلَّلْنَاهَا لَهُمْ فَمِنْهَا رَكُوبُهُمْ وَمِنْهَا يَأْكُلُونَ. And we have subdued them unto them, so that some of them they have for riding and some they eat. وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مَنَافِعُ وَمَشَارِبُ أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ. And they have other benefits from them, from the animals, and they get milk to drink. Will they not then be get grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In these three verses of Allah, Surah Al-Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown and mentioned His bounties and favors in form of animals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created millions of kind of animals in the jungles, in the ocean, the fishes, and in the sky, the birds, and all those kind of creation. Astaghfirullah. Excuse me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all this creation to serve human being, to serve as ashraful makhluqat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Bani Israel had mentioned in 15th chapter, وَلَقَدْ كَلَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِمَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا. That we have honored Bani Adam, we have honored mankind, we have honored the human being. وَلَقَدْ كَلَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And we have given them right and control over the oceans and over the land, and granted them a pure and clean food and sustenance and risk, and make their status higher and lofty than all other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at these animals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for our benefit. We are utilizing all these animals for our services. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, some of the animals Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for our meat, for our provision. We eat cattle like buffalo and cow, and then sheep and goats, and the chicken, lamb. All these animals, we eat their meat, if it's halal, slaughtered by Allah, slaughtered on the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We utilize in our daily dishes, in daily food, lunch and dinner. And some of the cattle gives us milk, cows and camel and goat and sheep, and we use their milk as well. And who created the milk, you know, in these animals? It is not any human being has interfered or made an effort on the animals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting His favor. This whole kingdom of animals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created by His own. There is no influence of the human being in this creation of the animals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His Qudrat and power, has created. And after creating, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subdued and give us control over animals. And we use the skin of the animals. We use the bones of the animals. We use the horns of the animals. You know, some of the teeth of the elephants are very, very expensive. The horns of the deers are very, very expensive. So people make money out of it. They kill. The tiger is, the skin of crocodile is very, very expensive. They make purses and shoes and belts and what and what. And they sell it for very, very high price. The skin of crocodile, the skin of elephant, you know, the skin of zebra and tiger and all. So a human being is utilizing these animals for their food. They eat their flesh and meat. They use their bones. They use their skins. They make so many varieties of stuff for their use. So all this, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us as a favor. So Allah ta'ala said, don't you people think and ponder that Allah is the creator who has done so much of favor. وَذَلَّلْنَا. And then Allah ta'ala says, we have subdued all these animals under your control. Otherwise, human being is very weak compared to the elephant and camel and the horses and the lion and the tigers. There is no comparison. But look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us the control. Even if you go to the circus, you see the shows, you know, is a young boy. He's controlling the tiger and animal with the whip. One whip, he hits the tiger and the lion, and they follow his instruction. They sit on the little chair and they do what and what, which is not, you know, not suitable to them. But they do it out of fear of the human being. Small little child, if you go to South India, there are a lot of elephants over there. You find a small little child, 10 years, 7 years boy, he's riding on top of the elephant and is controlling the elephant, you know. And the small boys, they jump onto the horse and they control the horse and they ride on top of the horse. Small little boy is carrying the camel. Such a huge animal is under the control of a small little boy. Who did it? It's Allah's Qudrat. Otherwise, as far as this size is concerned, as far as is their weight and their strength is concerned, they are much, much bigger in the strength, in the power, in the might, in the size than a human being. You know, they can kill us in any time, anyway. But this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has subdued all these animals. You know, the snake charmers, the big cobras, poisonous cobras. But they know how, they know the tricks, how to capture these poisonous snakes and python and the cobras. They, you know, with the one hand, they just grab it. They are master in this. So how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, you know, subdued all these animals, poisonous animals, strong animals, you know, under our control. It is just a matter of thinking and pondering and appreciating the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whole kingdom. You know, the big fishes in the ocean, people just go and they catch the fish and they use it, the meat and the oil of the fish is very, very useful for our body. So every part of the body, every kind of animal, people are utilizing for their own benefit. And yet they are not appreciating, they are not thinking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not pondering on these great favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala said, وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مَنَافِعُ وَمَشَارِفُ أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ. And they have other benefits, as I mentioned, so many benefits of the animals from them. And they get milk also from the animal to drink. And from the milk, how many varieties we are making out of milk. Will they not then grateful? Allah Ta'ala is complaining. What? How come they are not grateful? How come they are not thinking and pondering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored them all, with all these things? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِهَا. And they have taken the beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the other idols and statues, hoping that they might be helped, those so-called gods, yunsarun, meaning they worship the idols, because for each and every, this is what the culture of the Saudi Arabia was, and even India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and so many countries, Asian countries, you find they have different kind of statues, different kind of temples, different kind of size and shape of the idols for different needs. If like in Saudi Arabia, the Arabs, Kuffar of Makkah, if they used to win the war, if they wanted to win the war, they have a special idol for that. And they used to go and worship that particular idol to win the war against the enemy. If they need children, child, they used to go to another certain kind of idol, specifically for that idol, for the child, and used to worship and ask and beg to him to give him a child. And if they want rain, they used to go to certain idol and used to worship him and make, try to sacrifice some animals to make him happy and please, and then he can bring the rain. So in short, for every need, for every necessity, they had different kind of idols and different shape of idols, out of mud, out of wood. They used to shape their own shape of the idol, eyes and lips and nose and what and what. And then they used to worship them regarding the mighty. And with this hope that if they are in trouble, like for example, if they are trouble in enemy, then this God to whom they are worshiping, and every tribe has its own God, its family God. Like we have family doctors, they used to have family gods. And even in the house of Allah, the Kaabatullah, they had about 360 idols, 360 idols for every clan, for every tribe, for every family. They had particular idol, and once in a while, they used to go to that particular idol, used to be called and known for that particular family, and they used to worship him like that. So in and around Kaaba, there were 360 idols. So when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam conquered the Makkah Mukarramah, then he cleaned all these idols. With Ali radiallahu anhu and other Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they washed the whole Kaabatullah and threw it all these idols outside. So Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are worshipping, there are so many gods and goddesses and idols in hope that they will help them when they will be facing any kind of trouble and any kind of fear. But in reality, these idols are so powerless, so helpless, they can't do anything. And in the beginning, Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the example that this idol is so helpless and powerless, even one mosquito, one fly sits on their food and takes away the food, they are not able to snatch the food from the fly and from the mosquito. They are so weak. They are so helpless. And look at them. They are bowed down in front of them, making sujood to that idol. And where is their intellect? Where is their understanding? Where is their knowledge? The idol they make by themselves, with their own hands, and they are so helpless and powerless, they are worshipping to them. And look at when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, chopped off all the heads of the idols, is a long story. And he was young at that time. He wanted to teach them the lesson and put the axe on the biggest idol of the temple. And when they returned back from the festival, they found their idols are on the ground. They have chopped off. They have, hands and legs and nose, they cut off. So they say, who did to our idols? They're not thinking if idol would have power or this God would have power, how he could not protect itself. Why did one young boy had the strength and power to chop them off and make them in the pieces, and they are just lying on the floor, pieces? They could not understand this logic. They could not understand this clear-cut message. So they are worshiping the idols in hoping that the idols will help them. But in reality, these people, the worshippers, are protecting their own idols. Building the temple for them and taking care of these idols and protecting them from the people who can come and harm them. So it's other way around. Instead of idols helping them and solving their problems, they are the one, pujaris and pandits and these people, 24/7, they are serving that idols and protecting that idols. So where is that intellect? Where is that logic? Where is their understanding? They are so, ignorant people or stupid people. So Allah Ta'ala said, وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً, they have chosen and selected other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala their idols and their gods, لَعَلَّهُمْ يُنْسَرُونَ, so they may be helped. But in reality, they are not helping. These idols are not able to help them. لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ نَصْرَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُمْ جُنْدُمْ مُحْضَرُونَ, they cannot help them, but they will be brought forward as a troop against those who worship them. In the Yawmul Qiyamah, this is all the the detail of the Yawm al-Qiyamah, what is going to happen. So on the day of resurrection, all these idols to whom they used to worship, they will come against them. They will give witness against them that, oh Allah, these people were so ignorant and stupid. They used to worship us. We never told them to worship us. So they are going to bear witness, not in their favor, but rather they will worship, they will bear witness against them in the Yawm al-Qiyamah. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will throw them also, these idols which are made out of wood or stone or whatever material they used to build this, to make these idols, Allah is going to throw them, idols also with them, into the hellfire. Say, this is the idols you people used to worship all your life. Now they are suffering, they are burning with you. Go to hell. So these idols will be burning in front of their eyes with them in the hellfire. May Allah protect all of us with this wrong idea. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ إِنَّا نَعْلُمْ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلُونَ. O Prophet, when they used to reject and when they used to argue with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and never used to accept his message, so as a human being, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to feel very bad. He used to feel very sorry about them. He used to feel guilt about them. Why these people are not understanding and why they are arguing and debating with me? The message is so clear. They should only worship one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at how stupid they are. They are worshiping so many idols and gods and goddesses. So Allah ta'ala is convincing and concealing our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fala yahzunka qawluhum. You should not be unhappy or feel sorry about them with their comments and what they are talking about it. Inna na'lamu, we are aware of it. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, I know everything about them. Ma yusirruna wa ma yu'linun. Whatever they are hiding in their hearts, I am aware of that also. And whatever they are expressing in front of you, or commenting in front of you, or mocking in front of you, I am aware of that. Just wait for a day. They are going to come in front of me on Yawm al-Qiyamah, in the day of resurrection, and then I will sort them out. Then I'll show and prove it, who is the Lord and to whom the kingdom is belongs to. You just wait. Don't feel sorry or don't be hard-hearted for this their comments, and don't feel guilt or you know, grief in your heart. You take it easy. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Does not man see that we have created him from the nutfa, a mixed male and female discharge, sperm drops, yet behold, he stand forth as an open opponent. Khasimu mubin, meaning he's opposing you and is fighting with you. And look at the reality, we have created him with the one little dirty drop of the sperm. That is the reality. And on other place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Surah Az-Zumar, the verse number 6, يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ خَلْقًا مِّن بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ ثَلَاثٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you in the womb of your mother in the three veils of darkness. Three veils of darkness. No one knows what is going on inside the womb of mother. Even the mother doesn't know. The pregnant woman, she doesn't know what's going on inside her own womb. She is walking, sleeping, eating, but she doesn't know who is creating and shaping a child so beautifully and profoundly inside the womb of the mother. It is only the Qudrat and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at the Qudrat and power of Allah. Just ponder, amazing. You know, if a person want to create or make something, toy or any machine or any craft or anything, he need the light, right? We need the light in our factory or wherever we are, you know, working and doing something. In the darkness, we cannot do anything. We can't see anything. You know, to create something, to make something, we need the light. Even we get stuck at night, you know, car gets stuck. We have some, you know, light with us, torch with us, and then we have to, you know, on the light, and then we can see what's wrong in the machine. Without light, We cannot do anything. We need the light to do something. Look at the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Three, not one darkness. Allah Ta'ala said three darkness. Darkness after darkness after darkness. And in that darkness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shaping the eyes and lips and eyebrow and nose and ear and the heart and lungs and what the whole machinery, whole system inside the human being. And mother doesn't know. She doesn't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. So now the modern biology also reveal that embryological development of the baby takes place in a manner it is revealed in the Holy Quran, like meaning three darkness. It is proven by science now. After so many research and study, now they came up with this three darkness. It is exactly the three darkness. And what are those three darkness? Number one, darkness of the abdomen. Darkness of the abdomen. Second darkness, darkness of the womb of the mother. And the third darkness is the darkness of the placenta. Now it is created in these three darknesses in the womb of mother in the three different stages. The life in the uterus has three stages. First stage, when a woman gets pregnant, so this pre-embryonic first 2.5 weeks, first 2.5 weeks, it is called pre-embryonic stage. And after 2.5 weeks, it develops little further, which is called embryonic up till the end of the 8 week. When it's developed about 2 months, 8 weeks, it is the second stage. And then the third stage is a fetal from the 8 week until the labor of delivery. So these are the three different stages where the child is developing in the womb of mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Suratul Muflihun in Suratul Mu'minun, 18th chapter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about this development, the different stages. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. Ayat number 12 and 13. And indeed, we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we created man, Adam, out of the extract of the clay, water and earth. And thereafter, because first creation was without sperm, it was Adam alayhi salam was created by water and mud. And thereafter, we made him the offspring of Adam, the children of Adam, is a nutfa, mixed drops of the male and female discharged and locked it in a safe lodging in the womb of the mother. And then Allah Ta'ala says, "Summa khalaqna nutfata 'alaqatan, fa khalaqna al-'alaqata mudghatan, fa khalaqna al-mudghata 'idhaman, fa kasawna al-'idhama lahma." ثم أنشأنا خلقاً آخر فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين. All the stages in the womb of mother, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is developing week by week, month by month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. Then we made the nutfa into a clot, a piece of thick coagulated blood. And then we made this clot into the little lump of flesh. And then we made out of that little lump of flesh bones, and then we clothed the bones with the flesh, with the meat, and then we brought it forth as another creation, boy or girl. So blessed is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best of the creator. The best of the creator is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is mentioned that first 40 days, the fluid, in the stage of fluid, and then it turns into the clot another 40 days. And thereafter, it will turn into the morsel of the flesh for another 40 days, which is called mudgha. So in 4 months, these are 40, 120 days. In this 4 months, the whole, the fetus is ready now. The first stage or blueprint of the child is already developed. And now after 4 months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an angel to the womb of mother. And the angel comes and he blow the soul in the womb of mother when the fetus has developed already in the fourth month. In after the 120 days, then the souls Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blows inside the fetus. That's why it is called after 4 months of pregnancy, it is haram to do the abortion. If for any physical reason or sickness, if a woman was to do the abortion, she must rather do in the beginning stage when the soul is not blown yet. But after the 4 months of pregnancy, then it is haram to do abortion because the child is already alive. He has the soul inside. Now doing abortion is like killing the child before it comes in this dunya. And it is haram. It is very major sin. So angel come after the 4 months of the pregnancy and blow the soul. And then angels ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, what should I write in his taqdeer? Our fate, our taqdeer has been created in the womb of mother already before we take the birth into this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees 4 things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instruct the angels to write it down 4 things for the child. Number one is his risk. The first thing, my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes it down in the womb of mother before even we come in this dunya. Our risk is predetermined. That's why it is said, Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ayat of the Quran is, wa fis sama'i rizqukum wama tu'adun. Your risk is not in your factory, is not in your jobs, is not in the farm, is not in your factories, but the job, the risk really comes from the sky. Wa fis sama'i rizqukum wama tu'adun. Whatever Allah has promised, it is predetermined. And in the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, al-risku maksumun wal-harisu mahrumun, that your risk is already predetermined. You're not going to get any single penny, more or less. Your risk is written, and you're going to get that much of risk in your whole life. Number one, risk. Number two, ajal, your death. Where and how you're going to die, that is also written. Your death is already written before you are born. It's so certain. It's so fixed. And that's why to say, إِذَا جَاءَ أَجُلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. When the ajal, when the time of death appears, it doesn't delay a moment or it doesn't come a moment early. It comes on its fixed time and there is no chance after that. So your death is written while you are in the womb of mother. Number three, your a'mal, your deeds. You know, whether you are going to be doing good action, what amal, what actions, what deeds you are going to do in throughout your life is already predetermined in the womb of mother. And number four, Sa'id or Shaqi, this child will be a righteous, obedient, or it will be wicked, evil, and disobedient. He will be believer or non-believer. So these 4 taqdeer, these 4 items of the fate is already written in the womb of mother. Now, brothers, at the time when these 4 things are already predetermined, and then when a child is born, then at the time Shaitan comes. I know my time is just, I'm going to conclude with this. Shaitan comes in epochs when the child is born. 2 things happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent 1 angel and 1 devil with every newborn baby. Angel remain with him until he will die or she will die. And the devil also remain with him until she will die or he will die. So angel always guide him, encourage him towards the right path, to do right things. As the devil is already misguided or try to, make him astray from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So both are doing their work very precisely and very actively. So when the shaitan pokes at the child, when the child is born in this dunya, and that is why every child, every newborn baby is crying because of the poking of the shaitan. And he, indicate that, okay, you are in this, you came in this world, but remember, I will be with you all the time till you will die. I will misguide you. I will take you with me, from the right path to the wrong path. Be aware of. So he's from the beginning with us until we die. And he tries his best. And it comes in the riwayat only Hadrat Maryam alayhi salam and Hadrat Isa alayhi salam were protected from this poke of the shaitan. He could not poke Hadrat Maryam alayhi salam and Hadrat Isa alayhi salam. Other than that, every child is born, the shaitan comes and pokes him. And other thing, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, you saying with every child there is a devil, is the devil with you also? Say, yes, obviously, I was also born by my mother, Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala, and there was a devil born came with me also. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy, made my devil Muslim. My devil became Muslim, so he's not misguiding me, or he's not interfering me, or he's not trying to lead me astray, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already made him subservient to me, and he already embraced Islam. So that is the riwayat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, tomorrow I'm going to complete Suratul Yasin with the help of Allah, with the mercy of Allah, biiznillah. And tomorrow will be the last session of our this Darsul Quran. Make dua, may Allah accept and give us tawfiq to practice upon it. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Allah Hafiz.
Allah Hafiz.
Allah Hafiz. Allah.